Osho, the invitation. Responses to disciples' questions given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India. Discourse number 19.
Beloved Bhagwan, when you were responding to Sarjana's question, I heard you say that a disciple can say no to the master if the love is deep enough. I can understand your saying no to us out of your love, but not the other way round. Do you mean that the disciple must have the freedom to say no, but in fact would never wish to or need to?
The question you have asked raises many questions. Questions about love, questions about freedom, questions about master and disciple and their relationship. Life appears to be very simple. But as you go deeper into it, it becomes more and more complex. And the ultimate complexity is that life consists of contradictions. If you understand those contradictions, become complementaries. If you don't understand, those contradictions become opposites. But in the ultimate organic unity, there is enough space for yes and no both. It will not be ultimate organic unity if there was only space for yes, if there was space only for light, if there was space only for love, and not their opposites. Our mind looks at things in categories of opposition, but mind is not the ultimate decisive factor. Ultimate decisive factor is a state of no mind. In a state of no mind, everything is possible. The incomprehensible is also possible. The impossible is also possible. apparently you are right that the disciple cannot say no. How the disciple can say no to the master? In what situations? It has been the tradition that no has always been taken as negative with me. Things have a far more deeper meaning and significance. No is not necessarily negative, and yes is not necessarily positive. You can say yes out of fear, then it is negative. You can say no out of love. You love too much that you are not worried even to say no. Then no becomes affirmative. It is no more negative. And as far as I am concerned, I am not surrender. I don't demand from you. To me, surrender is a subtle spiritual slavery. Of course, with a master, the surrender feels beautiful. But even if slavery is decorated with flowers, I cannot be deceived by it. I want my people to be individuals living in freedom. If they love me, it is out of their freedom, not out of fear, not out of desire, not out of some longing for achievement. The old disciple was surrendering himself because he wanted to be enlightened. The master was being used as a means. I don't allow myself to be used as a means. That is ugly. And the old master was using the disciples for his own egoistic ends. The masters in the past used all dependent in a certain sense disciples. Something to be understood, that you cannot make dependent without becoming yourself. And the same is in to make dependent. individuality has such beauty and grace, such joy, such freedom to fly in the sky with no boundaries and no chains, with no conditions and no expectations, that a master would love his disciples to be ultimately free, free even of himself. Zarathustra has said to his disciples, "Beware of me." That small statement contains great meaning, because the disciple can renounce everything to be one with the Master, to come closer and closer to the Master. He can even sacrifice himself. But in this sacrificing, he will enjoy a certain unburdening, because now he is no more responsible. The whole responsibility is on the shoulders of the Master. The disciple has become a sheep and the Master has become the shepherd. Now the shepherd will take care. One can think in this way that the sheep has attained a certain freedom, freedom from responsibility. But becoming a sheep even if you become free, your freedom has no meaning. It is fear. It is irresponsibility. In a deeper sense, you have lost yourself to gain something. It is not love that you have surrendered to the Master. Out of love there is no surrender. There is no need. Love is a far bigger phenomenon than any surrender. Surrender is of the mind, and surrender is an effort. Love is of the heart, and it is not an effort. You suddenly find yourself in love with someone. Even if you try to be in love with someone, you cannot succeed. No effort is going to be successful. Love comes just like the spring comes. And when love comes, it brings many flowers. there have been 30 of the masters in the past demanded surrender, total surrender. It was a kind of a spiritual slavery. The master was enjoying a great ego, and the disciple was enjoying a great unburdening from all responsibilities. Now the master is going to save him. Now the master is his salvation, liberation, and men. All that he could do, he has surrendered himself. He has an absolute yes. This kind of relationship was not healthy. Something was basically wrong. Because of this situation in the whole past, one man stands separate from the whole crowd of masters, and that is Jai Krishnamurti. He denied himself to be a master, and he denied to accept anybody as a disciple. This was another extreme. The other masters were demanding absolute surrender, and Jai Krishnamurti has lived with masters who had asked absolute surrender from him. And as he became more and more mature, he saw the whole game. The master enjoys the disciple enjoys irresponsibility. But neither the master is a true master, nor the disciple is a true disciple. Both are exploiting each other. And there is no question of love when there is exploitation. He refused to be master of anyone, and he refused anyone to think that he is a disciple. He has taken a great step, but he has moved to the very extreme. And always remember, if one extreme is wrong, the other extreme cannot be right. The right is always somewhere exactly in the middle. The golden mean. Because only in the middle there is balance. And only in the middle, if you are exactly in the middle, there is transcendence of the polarities, of the opposites. My position is exactly in the middle. I don't ask any surrender from you. Hence I am not on the old strength. I don't deny you the beauty of being a disciple. I don't insult you, I don't reject you. I accept your love, but I will not accept yours. In accepting your love and your disciplehood, I am your master. But there is no relationship of surrender. I am not here to erase your individuality. I am here just to erase your ego. And that does not need any surrender. It needs deep meditative understanding on your part. I can give you love. I can share my own understanding with you. But there is no condition attached with it. My joy to see you as growing individual in total freedom. And in total freedom, yes is as possible as no. I can understand Manisha's problem that no is very difficult. More difficult to a master who does not ask surrender. No becomes more difficult because the master allows it. If the master does not allow no, he is repressing something in you. And his not allowing no does not destroy the possibility of no in you. On the contrary, the master himself is afraid that if you are not prevented, you can say no. The yes from you is meaningless if you are not free to say no. Your yes has meaning only because you are absolutely free to say no. It does not mean that you have to say no. It does not mean that there will be a situation where you have to say no. In fact, it will become more and more impossible for you to say no. To say no is easy when you are prohibited. Then it becomes a question of your individuality. It becomes a question of your spiritual freedom. And certainly, anybody who has any dignity is bound to find situations where he would like to say no. If he does not say, he is behaving as a hypocrite. He is not saying no because he is afraid to to lose the love of the Master and to lose the possibility of getting higher states of consciousness. But this is business. And this is cunningness. And there should not exist any business and any cunningness between the Master and the disciple. Krishnamurti has moved to the very extreme. No master, no disciple. But then he created an absurd situation. For his whole life, and he lived long, 90 years, and he started being a teacher from the age 15. He wrote his first book at the feet of the Master at the age 15. It was so early that later on he could not even remember whether he has written it or not. It appeared as if in a dream far away, just an echo. From the age of 15 to the age of 90, almost 75 years continuously, no master has been teaching, so was Mahavira. Jesus taught only for 3 years, because at the age of 33 he was crucified. He has started his teaching career at the age of 30. Perhaps Krishnamurti is the only person who has been a teacher for 75 years. But the question is that his situation is very absurd. He does not accept him to be master, and he does not accept you as disciples, then what he is doing for 75 years? All over the world, running around and around, what he is doing? To whom he is talking? And the word disciple does not mean anything else than a learner. That is its original meaning. If he is not talking to people who are ready to learn, then what is the point to talk? And if he is not a master, from where he gets the authority to talk, to say anything to anybody? He goes on denying that he is not a master, and everybody knows he is a master. And he goes on denying that you are not the disciples, and everybody who listens to him, learns from him, feels a certain disciplehood. Both are denying actualities out of fear that they may not get tread into the past relationship of master and discipleship. This whole 75 years of Jaya Krishnamurti are full of fear. The fear of the past heritage, centuries of master-discipleship relationship, because it has become a spiritual slavery. The disciple could not say no. Rather than allowing the disciple to say no, he simply denied that there is no disciple. That is not a great revolution. It is just a reaction, moving from one extreme wrong situation to another wrong situation, another extreme. I am standing exactly in the middle. I can see both the extremes, the right and the left. And I can see that both are half, incomplete. Both are not going to help anybody to attain to spiritual freedom. The first, because it insists on surrendering, and the second, because it simply denies that you are a disciple. And goes on teaching for 75 years continuously. And becomes angry when the listeners don't listen rightly. You will be surprised to know that Krishnamurti used to become very angry at times when he will see somebody listening him for 50 years and still he has not understood anything. He will beat his head just looking at the people. It was absolutely natural. I will not say that it was unnatural, but he has created the situation. In the very first place, he denied disciplehood, and then he wants them to understand him. I accept the status of a master and the status of a disciple. There is nothing wrong in it if the master and disciple are not exploiting each other. If the disciple is not using the master as a means to enlightenment, to liberation, and the master is not using the disciple as his own aggrandizement, as his own ego fulfillment, I want disciples and masters to stand side by side in deep love. With no question of any surrender. With no expectation from the master that you have to say always yes. My own experience is the more you are prohibited to do something, the more there is a desire to do it. Prohibition is a kind of provocation. I don't prohibit you. It does not disturb me or my individuality if you say no. On this point, Manisha is right, that whenever she has said no, she has suffered the consequences. But that is up to you, not my expectation. It is going to be your understanding that when you say no, you have taken yourself as if you are wiser. You will suffer the consequences. I have not said to Sarjano that you will not suffer the consequences of your no. But not from me. Not that I will be annoyed, not that I will be irritated, not that I will be angry. It is perfectly okay with me whether you say yes or no. But for yourself, there is going to be difference. Yes means you are listening and following what I am saying. No means you are deciding for yourself. As far as I am concerned, you are absolutely free to decide for yourself. But then you have to be ready for consequences also. Freedom brings responsibility. That's the meaning I continuously repeat, and I know you don't understand. Everybody likes freedom and nobody likes responsibility. But they come in the same package. You cannot separate them. I give you freedom and I give you responsibility. You cannot complain against me because you are always free to say no. You cannot say that I have inhibited you because I have not asked that you have to say yes, whether you want or not. You cannot blame me. This is absolutely true. That whenever you will say yes, you will find a peace, a silence, and whenever you will say no, you will find a deep burden on your heart, almost a wound, but you are creating that wound. And I will not prevent you, because I know preventing provokes people to do the same thing that is prevented. A famous Tibetan story. A man was serving an old master continuously, bringing food, bringing water from the well, massaging his feet. And the old man used to say that, "Why you are wasting your time?" Because the old man understood it perfectly. There must be some desire. Finally, one day the man said, "I am serving you because I want to learn some miracle. Just one miracle." The old man said, "But I don't know any miracle. You have unnecessarily wasting your time. You should find somebody else who knows the miracle." But the man said, "I have been told that you always deny that you don't know any miracles, and you continuously go on performing miracles. I have been told, don't listen. You go on serving him. One day he will tell you some secret, but only when he will find you are right. Perhaps I am not right yet." After a few days, the old man saw that this man is unnecessarily working. Somebody has put the idea in his mind that I perform miracles. Perhaps miracles happen, but they happen on their own. I am not the performer. With people of great consciousness, things happen just on their own. Just as when the sun rises, birds sing. Not that the sun is performing a miracle. Flowers open their petals. Not that the sun is performing a miracle. Just the presence of the sun, and things start happening. the presence of a very conscious man awakened is enough for many flowers to open, for many birds to sing. The old man said, "It seems you will not leave me unless I tell you the secret." The man said, "That's true." So he said, "I will tell you the secret." He wrote a small mantra, the Tibetan mantra, Om Mani Padme Hum. It means Om, the eternal sound of existence, diamond in the lotus, Mani Padme Hum. Mani means diamond, Padme means lotus. The eternal sound and the diamond in the lotus. It expresses the meaning of enlightenment. The eternal music all around and the beauty of the lotus. And inside the lotus, the light of a diamond. In a small mantra, they have condensed the whole experience of enlightenment. So the old man said, "Take this mantra, repeat it 5 times, just 5 times, first take a bath, change your clothes to fresh clothes, close your doors, sit alone and repeat the mantra 5 times, then you will be able to do any miracle you want to do." The man rushed. He did not even show his gratitude or said even just a thank you. He simply rushed down the steps of the temple. When he was just in the middle, the old man shouted, "Wait, I have forgotten one thing. While you are repeating the mantra, remember one thing. Don't think of any monkey." The man said, "Why should I think of a monkey? I have never thought in my whole life." The old man said, "That's okay. Just remember that. No monkey allowed at all. If the monkey comes in, you have to repeat the mantra 5 times again." The man said, "But why the monkey should come?" The old man said, "I don't know. I have told you the secret. This is the secret my master has told me." But he could not even get down the steps. And he started thinking about monkeys. He said, "My God, I have not started the mantra yet and monkeys are coming." He will close his eyes and there were monkeys and monkeys giggling, making faces at him. He said, "It is a strange mantra. I have not started yet. He reached home crowded with monkeys. Wherever he was seen, he could see only a monkey. He went inside, took a bath, but it was no use. Even in the bathroom, inside the bathroom, with the closed door, all around monkeys are sitting. He said, it is that old man is such an idiot. If this monkey was the trouble, he should not have mentioned. Elephants are not coming, camels are not coming, lions are not coming, nobody is coming except the monkey. Then he sat in a lotus posture with closed eyes, but useless. The monkeys were nudging him. The monkey was sitting. It was a congregation. All monkeys all around. He was very much worried. His wife passed and he looked. And sometimes it looked that she is a monkey, and sometimes she looked, no, she is my wife. His father passed, and sometimes he looked like an old monkey, and sometimes he looked like the father. He said, I am going mad. 5 times was too much. Even to complete the mantra, Om Mani Padme Hum, just those 4 words. And there were so many monkeys. The whole night he tried hard. He took many times bath. Heart, perhaps the clothes are not as fresh as they should be. So in the middle of the night, in the cold winter, he stood naked, that now no question of dirty clothes or anything. But monkeys were sitting in lotus posture around. He started shouting at them, and they will laugh. By the morning, he was almost mad. He said, that old man is tricky. For years I served him. Finally, he gave me the secret. And managed to destroy the secret by keeping the monkey with it. He went back to the old man, returned the mantra, and he said, keep it with you. Because those monkeys, but the old man said, you were saying they never come to you. He said, not a single monkey in my whole life I have dreamt or seen or even thought about. There are millions of animals I have not thought about. There is no need. If you had not said, I would have been able to perform miracles, but now it is impossible. The master said, what can I do? That monkey comes with the mantra. Without the monkey, mantra is useless. Unless you can avoid the monkeys, you cannot perform miracles. He said, I have forgotten all miracles. I just pray you that take your mantra and relieve me from the monkeys, because I am afraid. Mantra is gone, monkeys may not go. And I have small children and wife and an old father. I have to take care of them. I cannot go on fighting with these monkeys the whole day and night. The old man said, once you have left the mantra with me, they will not come. They are very religious people. And the man went, and he was surprised. He looked all around, no monkey. He reached home, wife looks wife, husband, father looks father, children look children. He said, it is strange. He took bath, the bathroom is empty. The mantra was small. He said, although I have returned, his written mantra, but I have been repeating it the whole night, so I have remembered. There is no harm, now I can repeat it. The moment he started repeating, and one monkey appeared. Just as he has said Om, and few monkeys were around saying Om. He dropped the whole idea. He said, I should go to my shop and look at my business. This idea of performing miracles is not for me. If I say to you, never say no to me, you will find many, many times the desire to say no. Hence, I give you absolute freedom. It is up to you to say yes or to say no. You are to decide for your own destiny. I can only help you, suggest to you, show you the way. But you can say, I don't want to go. I cannot force you. You can accept my understanding. You can reject it. And in your rejection, I don't think that there is less love. That's why I said, if you deeply love me, you will not be worried in saying no. But I have not mentioned anything what will happen to you. By saying no, you are relieving me from responsibility. You are taking the responsibility in your own hands. Now, if things go wrong, you cannot complain against me. When you say yes and things go right, I cannot brag about it. Yes is yours, no is yours. The consequence will be yours. I love you enough, hence I give you total freedom. If you love yourself enough, you will be aware what no can do to you, what yes can do to you. I teach you awareness and then leave you. A man of awareness will not try to go through the wall. He will find out the door. A man of awareness will pick up roses and will avoid the thorn. I give you freedom, and in giving you freedom, I feel absolutely free. I don't have any burden of solving, saving, liberating humanity. I don't have any burden at all. I'm absolutely weightless. I'm not a savior, not a messiah, not a messenger. I have chosen absolutely a third category. Just as Krishnamurti is alone on the left extreme, I am alone in the middle. And Krishnamurti is reacting against the tradition. I am not reacting, I am simply acting out of understanding. I can see where the old pattern went wrong. I will not do just the opposite, because just the opposite will also go wrong. Something exactly in the middle. So I don't deny you discipleship. I don't deny, because I respect you. I love you. I cannot say I am not a master, because I know, I have experience. I can share it to you, and then it is up to you to say yes or no. Manisha is right. So as a footnote, remember her, that no will bring its own consequences. Not that I will punish you, your no will punish you itself. yes will bring its own reward, not that I will reward you. Yes brings its own reward. Between me and you there is no other relationship than of love. But it is good that Manisha has raised the question, otherwise there was a possibility. That many may have misunderstood. The concerned doctor is trying to convince the patient that he is overweight. Now, just step on the scales, says the doctor. There, you see? Now look at this chart and compare your weight with the average weight for your height. You are way overweight. No, I am not, says the patient. I am just 6 inches too short. It is very difficult world. Here misunderstanding is possible everywhere. The matronly woman was alone in the house, watching her favorite television program, when her husband burst through the front door, stalked into the bedroom without saying a word, and began packing his suitcase. "Where are you going?" she demanded. "I resigned from the firm today. I am sick and tired of you and I am going to Australia." "I am told that the young ladies there will gladly pay $5 a night for the services of a good man. And I intend to live off the earnings from my lovemaking." He then continued to pack. Suddenly his wife pulled her suitcase from the closet and began packing her own clothing. "And where do you think you are going?" he demanded. "To Australia." She laughed. "I want to see how you are going to live on $10 a month."
Beloved Bhagwan, whenever any emotions get triggered, my attempts at watching usually result in mind trips, unless I do something like run around Buddha Hall a couple of times first. I feel if I could turn all this energy in instead of out, great things could happen. While you talk to us about watching, it feels so simple. And basking in your silence, I wonder how it can be a problem. Beloved Master, what am I missing? Or am I too impatient?
Santo. The first thing is to remember that the exact purpose of the Buddha Hall is what you are doing. Go on running as long as you don't fall down. Fall down on the ground, not by any effort, but just let it happen by running continuously. The time will come, you will fall down. Then rest there, and you will find immense peace. Great silence, which you have never known. This is exactly the purpose of dynamic meditation, to exhaust your energy. So the mind has no more supply of energy to create thoughts and dreams and imagination. So you are using the Buddha Hall perfectly for the first time knowingly. That is the purpose of it. I have never told anybody. Because then from you will see tomorrow, there will be two big crowds running. Exhaust the outgoing energy and suddenly you will find you are in. To go in you don't need any energy. You are there. Just the outgoing energy has to be exhausted. So you cannot go out. As far as going in is concerned, that is a wrong idea. Nobody goes in. How can you go in? That's where you are. You can go out. That's okay. So go to Buddha Hall and run as much as you can. Don't stop in the middle thinking that it is too tiring. go on, let the body, according to its own wisdom, fall down. Don't act, don't try to deceive, because you are deceiving yourself. And if you can allow the body to go on running till it falls, then lie down there on the ground. And you would be surprised that you have never known such peace, such silence, such deep meditation. Gautam Buddha himself if you go to Bodh Gaya, where he became enlightened. That's why the name of the city has become Bodh Gaya. Gaya must have been the name of the town. But when Gautam Buddha became enlightened, Bodh means enlightenment. So the city of Gaya became Bodh Gaya. There is a temple in the memory made almost 2000 years before. And the tree under which he used to sit. And by the side of the temple you will find what I am saying to you. He had nearly 200 stones in a line. 1 hour he used to sit and meditate, and 1 hour he used to walk on those stones and meditate. When he will become tired of walking, he will sit. When he will become tired of sitting, he will walk. This way he exhausted his outgoing energy. And one day he found there is no energy at all for any outgoing. He remained in. And this remaining in revealed him his luminous being, his ultimate consciousness. In language it is a problem, we say go in. You cannot go in, because if you go in, then that in will also be out. You can only go out, you cannot go in. In you are. What do you mean by in? It is not inside of your house. It is where you are. There you don't need going. All that you need, that you don't have any energy to go out. So naturally you remain still and silent and in. And suddenly there is an explosion of light and bliss and ecstasy. So you have found a beautiful meditation, Prasanto, continue. And you will find many more from tomorrow on the way. Don't chit-chat with anybody. The moment you enter the path by the side of Buddha Hall, forget that anybody else exists in the world. You and the road. Till you fall down. Then in a day you can achieve something which you may not be able to achieve in a 1 year dynamic meditation. This is ultimate dynamic meditation. I have not told people but you have found it. So now I have to recognize just remember one thing, that you are not to stop by yourself. Because if you stop, you will miss the point. You will always stop before the energy is finished. That's why I am saying, go on and on and on till you cannot go on and you fall. Don't pretend to fall, because those are all deceptions that you can detect yourself. You know perfectly well when you are pretending to fall and when you are really falling. So don't misunderstand me. The real thing will happen only when automatically you find yourself falling. You are just a watcher, not a doer. And tremendous experience is possible. The father was having a heart-to-heart talk with his son before the boy's marriage. Son, he said, I have two bits of advice for you before you get married. First, you must tell your wife right from the start that you insist on spending one night each week out with the boys. And what, asked the son, is the second bit of advice? His father smiled and said, don't waste it on the boys. Chaim Goldberg goes for his weekly visit to the doctor and says, Doc, I snore so loudly that I keep myself away. What can I do? The doctor rolls his eyes and says, why don't you try sleeping in another room? So, Prasanto, just exactly get what I am saying. a Jew and an Irishman were fishing in separate boats some distance apart. The Irishman got a bite and was so nervous that he fell out of the boat. He sank twice, and as he was coming up the second time, the Jew bowled over his head and called out, "Mister, can I have your boat if you don't come up again?" People have their own understanding. Just get exactly what I have told you. And when something happens, report to me. Because everybody will be waiting. What happens to Prasanto? And tomorrow everybody will be watching. I have made you a hero within a second. Okay, Manish.
Yes, Prabhupada.